Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, speaking of presidents, President Donald Trump has threatened Hamas with eradication should his ceasefire deal collapse. Vice President J.D. Vance is also getting involved, heading to Israel to shore up Israeli support for this Gaza peace deal. But the end of the fragile peace is always just beyond the horizon. To talk about all of this, professor and political analyst from the Clinton Institute at University College Dublin, Scott Lucas. Scott, good morning and welcome.
Very good morning to you, Pat.
Now, we're trying to figure out when you have these breaches of the ceasefire. I mean, there's one particular reporting when Netanyahu claimed that soldiers had been fired on, and it turned out there was an explosion caused by an Israeli digger hitting some buried ordnance. And that had to be corrected by the Americans to Netanyahu, who still persisted in maintaining that it was a Hamas attack. Where do we get the truth when we have so few journalists able to report upon it?
Well, Pat, you have to do what you and other responsible folks do on a daily basis, and you have to sift through what are sometimes conflicting accounts to see if we can get reliable information. That incident you refer to, which took place over the weekend and led to the possibility of the ceasefire breaking down, the initial claim had come out from the Israelis that their soldiers had been killed by direct fire from Hamas near Rafah in the southern part of the strip. Hamas said, look, we didn't fire on Israel. We have been fighting with other armed groups in Gaza, militias, including militias that have actually been supported by Israel. And then you got that story that came out, initially broken by a journalist named Ryan Grimm on Dropsite News, that the Israelis apparently hit, bulldozer had hit that unexploded ordnance. The tale that comes out of that fog of conflict, I think, are 2 points, Pat. I'll use as a jumping off for our discussion. The first is the phase one of this agreement was rushed through last week by Trump's envoys, his son-in-law, Jared Kushner, and Steve Witkoff, in talks brokered by Egypt, just to get it there that Trump could celebrate it. And they deliberately left the second phase of the deal vague. But that meant the key provisions weren't defined. And that ranges from the extent of the Israeli withdrawal to making sure that it was clear to where they had withdrawn, talking about the disarmament process for Hamas, talking about the process to get the bodies of the Israeli hostages back. And because those details were vague, in particular, what you've seen is not just this clash where the Israeli soldiers died or this accident. You've seen scores of Gazans who were killed even before Israel carried out those weekend attacks, because they were trying to go back to their homes. They were trying to make it back towards the areas where they lived. And they crossed an invisible line of occupation and were shot on. So the second point, I think, is that beyond those tragic incidents that take place, because of that lack of definition, that someone will use this as a pretext to scuttle the ceasefire and to renew operations. And I think, to be honest with you, without absolving Hamas of what it has done in the past, that begins with the hard right and Netanyahu's government. Mm.
Now, that Dropsite report from Ryan Grimm, he reports that the Israelis must have known that this was an accident, the bulldozer hitting unexploded ordnance, which killed some IDF people. They used it as an excuse to attack Hamas, close the border so that no relief could get through. And then Washington, who knew the truth of it, contacted the Israelis and said, hang on a second, we know actually what happened. And then Netanyahu said, well, the crossing will open in a few hours. In other words, Washington persisted in pressurizing the Israelis because they knew maybe in their bones that this is all Netanyahu wants, is an excuse to breach the ceasefire once the living hostages are back.
I think that rings true. I would add a couple of things here, and that is, The Israelis were already restricting the aid going into Gaza even before this incident took place. They never actually observed the terms of phase one by reopening the Rafah crossing and by allowing 600 trucks a day to go into the strip. They were only allowing about 300 in. We can perhaps speculate or try to analyze the motives for why they are maintaining that chokehold on aid. But I think the second point is it's interesting where the Americans are in this. And I think it is that on the one hand, Donald Trump's not going to come out publicly against Benjamin Netanyahu. And that's why you get the obliterate Hamas remark. On the other hand, the reason why we got to the ceasefire is because when the Israelis overreached and attacked Qatar, the Gulf states went to the Trump administration and said, look, you know, if you do not put pressure on Netanyahu, not only your geopolitical interest, I mean, the Americans' largest military base in the regions in Qatar, but your economic interests are at stake because, of course, Qatar is a big, they bankrolled Jared Kushner, Trump's son-in-law. That's why the Americans made the move for the ceasefire, and we're still in that position, that I don't think they can go fully behind Netanyahu if he tries to scuttle this ceasefire, because the Gulf states will at the very least be upset, and they may put pressure on the Americans if that was to happen.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
Now, there's a video knocking around of Jared Kushner talking about what the Israelis should do, which is to create a somewhere in the Negev desert in Israel for the Palestinians and take over the Gaza Strip, which had huge value in real estate terms. Is that kind of wishful thinking on the part of Jared Kushner and his real estate buddies? Is that now dead in the water? Or do you think that ambition to take over the Strip completely by America, really, is still on their agenda?
I would certainly hope it's been set to the side for the sake of Gaza civilians. I mean, Gaza civilians don't want to go into the Negev desert. They don't want to go to other countries. They want to go back to their homes. And I think everyone should stand on that point, just as Israelis should be secure in their homes. Now, I'd like to see it's been set aside, but I will go back to the facts. And that is, you go back to last summer, and an academic drew up a plan for a consulting group, the Boston Consulting Group, which was this, quote, economic redevelopment of Gaza. And that meant not only building, you know, these high-value properties, these condominiums, these resorts, it meant trying to encourage a great deal of the population to leave because they aren't high-value, to be honest with you. And we know Donald Trump was emphasizing that back in February. And I'm afraid that, you know, there's still this doubt, which is because, again, another vague part of the phase two of the Trump sketch is, all right, who exactly is this international board that's going to oversee Gaza? When Donald Trump declares he is chairman of the board, in effect, almost declaring a de facto U.S. ownership of the Strip. And as long as you have that vagueness, yeah, we will continue to have this speculation in terms of the American motives and what it means for Gaza's people.
Now, you know, the fact that phase one is done, not completely, of course, because not all of the bodies of the dead hostages have been recovered or maybe are not even recoverable. But let's say that that is achieved to as much satisfaction as can be got out of this process. Then the phase two, I mean, it's kind of parked, and we don't know what Tony Blair is going to be doing and this multinational force that's going to come in and when and how it's going to operate, who's going to police Gaza in the meantime. It's all, as you say, incredibly vague. So what is next?
Well, what was supposed to be next is that Jared Kushner and Steve Witkoff were supposed to be in Israel yesterday, not for the purposes of trying to make sure the ceasefire stayed in place, but to supposedly open up discussions on phase two. And we were told that Vice President J.D. Vance will be swanning into Israel today, which he will be, for those discussions. But the reality is, no, there haven't been any substantive discussions. And I'll identify a couple of key areas in terms of what matters. The first is blow this international board, whoever's on that. There won't be any Palestinians on it. You know, you have to have this day-to-day administration of the Strip. Now, Israel, Hamas is not going to be on that administration. They know they won't. The Netanyahu government has effectively said Palestinian Authority will not be on it. So who are the Palestinians? Are the technocrats, academics, civil society activists? Does Israel have a veto power over that? And then the second matter that I think you talk about is this supposed international stabilization force to provide the security for that administration. Well, who's going to provide troops? You know, so far only two countries have come forward to say they'll provide troops. One is Indonesia, which came out and said it would provide 20,000 troops as its president was on a hot mic telling Donald Trump, can I meet with your son, Eric, probably for about a business deal. And then secondly, Azerbaijan, which also is trying to curry favor with the Trump folks, said they'll give troops. So far, no Gulf states come forward to say they'll provide troops. The Turks have not come forward to provide troops. The Israelis would probably veto Palestinians providing troops. And so the upshot of that, Pat, is you have a security vacuum. And in a security vacuum, who does take to the streets, who is armed in the unoccupied area of Gaza? Hamas.
Now, I want to leave that and go stateside now. And there are a couple of things we haven't talked about, you and I, of late. The revelation of the existence of a young Republican chat room, which is incredibly racist and which has been kind of laughed off by the Vice President, J.D. Vance. Have you been following that particular story?
I've been horrified by it, Pat. I mean, it is not just young Republicans in a chat room who probably say nasty things. I don't think it's only Republicans who would say that. But I think two things struck me about that. The first is just the virulence of the misogyny, the hatred of women, the virulence of the racist comments, and of anti-Semitism. And I think if you juxtapose that with this Trump folks going around and talking about free speech, everyone should have free speech, it should be unrestricted, and realizing that they would criticize, like those who talked about Charlie Kirk's assassination and say how horrible it was they discussed that. They will talk about Democrats supposedly basically abusing speech. And in this case, did they criticize the young Republicans? No, J.D. Vance went out over the weekend and he said, oh, it's just boys. It's just boys chatting away, even though some of these people were in their late 30s.
Now, so can I read, just so people know the kind of stuff, I won't read it all, but they use the N-word anyway, and referring to, black athletes. I'd go to the zoo if I wanted to watch monkey play ball. Great, I love Hitler. Everyone that votes no is going to the gas chamber. And then there's misogynistic comments as well. I mean, it is disgusting stuff. And it is an official Republican, young Republican chat room.
Yeah. And J.D. Vance simply excused that by being deceptive. These were not important. These were boys. But let me compliment that with something that happened, Pat, over the weekend. You may be talking about anyway, but I'll go ahead and jump the gun. And that is that this administration, while excusing that behavior, in response to the No Kings mass protest with more than 7 million people in the streets, posted an AI video of Donald Trump, as a king wearing a crown in a fighter jet, dropping feces on the marchers. And then the official White House account juxtaposed two photos. The top photo is, remembering this was No Kings protest, J.D. Vance and Donald Trump wearing royal robes and crowns. And the bottom photo was a racist photo mocking the Senate Democrat leader Chuck Schumer and the House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries, specifically because Jeffries is black, by putting a large Mexican mustache and a sombrero on top of it. So we're not just getting racism from the young Republicans. We're getting racism from the administration itself.
And finally, Scott, the question of the ballroom that will house, according to Donald Trump, 999 people. He didn't want to go over 1,000 for fear of being accused of being overblown. Knocking down portions of the East Wing dating from 1942 to make way for his glitz. Are Americans outraged, or is just more of Donald?
I those people who support Trump, he could turn the entire White House into a Trumpland theme park with a golden statue of him in the middle. They'd be okay with it. Those people who are skeptical of Trump, or even those who are just tired of this, a lot of them will just shrug their shoulders. I mean, the reality here is that you not just have someone who is technically president of the United States, you have someone who is an egotist, who is a narcissist. We have known this about him for decades. He already has converted the White House. He paved over area in the Rose Garden that had been developed by Jackie Kennedy back in the 60s. Beautiful area. Basically poured concrete over the top of it. He has put gold or pseudo gold across a lot of rooms in there. And now he just demolishes the East Wing or damages the East Wing to put up this testament to himself. And the paradox here is, as he tries to convert the White House into Mar-a-Lago, he's actually gutting America's cultural institutions by the Kennedy Center by trying to make them into loyalist outposts, again, to his overinflated sense of himself.
Oh, when will it end? Well, it should end in 3 and a bit years' time, but who knows whether that will actually happen. He may have plans in his head to live forever and rule America well into his 120th year. Anyway, Scott, thank you very much for joining us. That's Scott Lucas, who's professor and political analyst at the Clinton Institute at UCD.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2 times the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8-6-25 and 1-5-26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.